After the verb, therefore, this is a word of certainty, not an imminency word. It's not an about-to-be word, okay? Like I've tried to talk to you about before. So the world that is to come, he has not put angels in subjection unto. Guess who's who the world is subject to? Who is this world subject to? Who is this world subject to? Who is this world subject to? Okay, we're going to end with this. 1 Corinthians 6. Meet you there. 1 Corinthians 6. First three verses. Who is this world subject to? Swish, swish. 1 Corinthians 6. First three verses. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints... Raise your hand, saints. No, really, unless you're not sure, in which case we should talk. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, pronoun, second person plural, all of you, all of you unworthy to judge the smallest matters, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? Ladies and gentlemen, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Christ is here. Parousia has happened. He is present. We will always be with him. The saints shall judge the world. What are you waiting to die? You're going to be your most obedient after you've died? Let's all drink Kool-Aid now. Revelation 2, verse 26. Yes, I lied. Our pastor lies during his teachings. Revelation 2, verse 26. See, he's saying, well, back over in Hebrews, he has not assigned angels to this oikomene, this world that was to come. Certainty. And of course, it came. The world came with Christ in AD 70. Revelation 2, verse 26. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now the word rule right there is poimene. It means to shepherd. Poimene. He shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. That doesn't sound like fun. That doesn't sound like tender Jesus, meek and mild. Let me wash your feet. No. What do you think is going on right here? This is the ruling over the world. This is the judging of the world. When we stand up against a traitor, a treasonous man, like our current president, and we stand up against him in this way, and we say no to your gay and lesbian month of June, to hell with that, and to hell with that kind of thinking, and we say, what do you think you're doing, canceling the day of prayer and replacing it with Muslim prayer services for Ramadan in the White House? What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? Well, he's got an agenda. That's easy enough. But when you do that, you're saying, don't you know that the saints will judge the world? Because we're speaking to the world that is separated from God. That's another proof of the AD 70 second coming, and that we're in a new age. But the age is a spiritual age, clearly, that transmits its spiritual power into the physical world and transforms that world. But it's through spiritual means. It's through the ministry of the Word. And it's through the living of the Word, living out the Word in the life of the believer. It's what the world sees. It's what the world hears. But the world's dead to God. So the saints must step forward, and they must bring a judgment, and they must speak to it from the spiritual realm, from the throne of Christ, here in the New Jerusalem. And when he calls us to do that, trans, you know, hook up 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3 with this right here. We shepherd them, the nations, with a rod of iron. That's what that is. When you say no to ungodliness, and you say no, and as vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received my from my Father. That sounds rather violent. See, but Jesus said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, that all men come violently pushing their way into the kingdom, those who are called. Seizing the kingdom, pushing their way violently into it. Don't you know that you will judge angels? Don't you know that the saints will judge the world? Pastor's a real liar this morning. Daniel, the 7th chapter. I'll finish with this. Have I got the right spot, Lord? Where is that, Lord? Okay, thank you, Father. Daniel 7, watch this. Verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. There's your marker, that's your indicator, second coming. Matthew 24:30, Mark 13:26, Acts 1:9-11. And he came to the Ancient of Days, that's the Father, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him, the Son of Man, dominion, glory, a kingdom. And all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Go down to verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. I think it's Nero. And prevailed against them. Watch. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. That's what Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3. Don't you know that the saints shall judge the world? Don't you know that the saints shall judge angels? Revelation 2, 26. He who overcomes will sit with me in my throne. I will give him authority over the nations. He will shepherd the nations with a rod of iron. That's enforcement. See? But you can't do that if what you have heard is drifting. If you're drifting. So the call today is to take stock of where we're at spiritually. Take stock. Am I needing there to be this feeling in order to have some kind of a discipleship? No. I like feelings. Nothing wrong with feelings, as long as feelings is not what is the motivator for you. You got to have peace. You can have it. You can have peace in the midst of a storm. But there are some storms where you must assert your covenantal gift of right to that peace. And you must know the word relative to what it says in regards to that. You must assert these things. You can't do it if you're asleep or if you're numb. So, the call today is to repent over what you need to repent of. That's the call today, is to change. If you know that you're not being biblically faithful in one area, two areas, three areas, what are you waiting around for? You know what I mean? Get rid of that thing and then forget what is behind and reach towards what is before and press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's life. That's life. And that's life more abundantly, is pressing towards that mark and glorifying God in all that you do, whether you feel like it or not. Or not. Whether you feel like it or not, it has nothing to do with any of that. So today, Father, we humble ourselves before you. I know my sins, O God. I also know how you have cleansed them away and that you have tossed them behind your back and that my sins and iniquities you remember no more. Let my brothers and sisters here today know the same thing. Let them know thy complete forgiveness in Christ. Let them know their covenantal promises, O God. Let us as a church rise up, O God, and judge the world and judge angels. You're going to have to show us how that's done, Lord. But we're open. Recover us, Lord, from drifting, recovering us from slipping away over time. May we recognize it now and quickly going about, according to the word, changing it by seeking you first, by asking for forgiveness, for letting ourselves slip in the commandments of the Lord. Maybe letting ourselves slip and it's affected others in our family, perhaps, because we're slipping. Let us wake up, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord God, we commit each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ to taking up our cross daily and following after thee. We commit, Lord God, regardless of our feelings, to make the time, to not say I don't have the time, but to make the time to be pleasing you in the word, in prayer, in worship, in gathering together when these doors are open, O God. Thank you, Father, for these things. Praise you for your graciousness, your faithfulness to each one of us. Thank you, O God. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And now, Lord, bless your people back as they begin to give. I thank you, Lord God, for the act of grace that you have worked in this congregation in regards to their giving. I've never seen, Lord, a small congregation give as much as they give. They outgive larger congregations, and I know you know that, Father. But having said that, Lord, I'm just recognizing that that is your work inside of them. The heart work, Lord, that opens up the wallet, so to speak. But Lord God, as we give and worship you in that way, O Father, thank you that you make all grace abound towards us, that we have all sufficiency in all things, that we are thoroughly equipped on every good work in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah.